Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We have to pray now. It's very non-spiritual, but also really fun as well. I love that song, Cotton Eye Joe, baby. There was one of our volunteer nights, they did that song, and I jumped up on stage and danced to it for like a minute. Unplanned, that's how we did it. So anyways, hey, I'm excited to be here tonight. I'll transition into now preaching into something super useful. But why don't you just do this? Why don't you just lift your hands tonight where you are? Lift your hands. Let me give you this thought. I was preaching this message, I think, a couple weeks ago. And Paul writes this. Paul writes, His grace is sufficient for me because His power is made perfect in my weakness. His power is made perfect in my weakness. So it got me thinking. Okay, His power is made perfect in my weakness. The perfect power of God. So often we think that the perfect power of God is seen when the dead comes back to life. And we label that as the perfect power of God. Or when the blind can see or the deaf can hear, we label it just in the miraculous that we see and healings that we see. And that's what we think is the perfect power of God. But in that scripture, Paul is actually speaking something different. He actually calls the perfect power of God is revealed when you and I, ordinary, everyday people, just get back up and step out into our calling again. When everything bad has happened around us, when negative things have happened, when we've had the worst week, the best week, when we've been down, we've been knocked down, we've been beat down, we've had this horrible time after horrible time, that when we get back up and step back into what God has for us, that is when the perfect power of God is revealed. It's simply in just those moments when you get back up again, when you do it again, when you believe again, when you hope again, when you lift your hands and worship again, when you get fired up again, when you give again, when you just say, God, here I am again. I'm not perfect. I just made a mistake. I've been beat down yesterday, but I'm getting back up and I'm getting back in. Every time we do that, the perfect power of God is revealed. It's revealed through you. It's revealed through you. That's why church is not just a recreational activity. It's not just something that we just go to because we have to and check it off a list. It is something that puts inside of me that spirit, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get back up again. I've been knocked down, but I'm going to get back up. That's why I never underestimate this moment. This moment right here, before we get into the preaching, when God is just preparing your heart for what He's about to do. I shared that because I believe there's some people, before we get into it, there's some people you needed to hear that. Because you look at everybody else and say, man, I wish I had that power. I wish I had that thing. I wish I had that gift and that anointing and that ability and that. We look at everybody else and we compare our lives to theirs. We think that God isn't manifest in our lives or in our bodies. But He wants you to know tonight that when you just made a decision to come here, when you didn't feel like it, to show up tonight, even though something else and something better maybe was on, and you showed up and you lifted your hands in worship, even though you didn't feel like it, the perfect power of God was manifested in your life. So at this moment, you're an overcomer. At this moment, you're above, not beneath. You're the head, not the tail. That's what God wants you to know. So lift your hands. Let me pray. God, we thank you for this night. God, we thank you for South Campus. God, I thank you for a campus that's revolutionizing what it means to go after God, what it means to serve God, what it means to lay down their life. God, we thank you for the people who are here. God, that tonight they would have not just a good word, not just something that makes them say, wow, that was okay, but God, something that leaves them, God, with an impartation, leaves them different. God, a word tonight, not from me, but from you. God, we're desperate for you. We're desperate for it. We are desperate for a move of God. We're desperate for a word that changes everything, a word that shifts things in our life, a word that breaks things open in our spirit. God, a word that leaves us here saying, man, God, we're more on fire than we've ever been before. God, tonight we come with that expectation. God, move in lives. God, open the eyes of the blind. Men, broken hearts tonight. Broken relationships, bring them back together. We thank you that tonight every person who is in here is going to leave here different, is going to leave here empowered, is going to leave here filled with the power of God. So we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you that we get to be here, that we get to be in church, that we get to lift our hands in worship, that we get to praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Why don't we give God a great shout tonight? All right. All right, you can take your seat. Give somebody a high five. You can take your seat. Thanks, guys. 8 minutes. Then you can come right back. 8 minutes. Chris, you look good. You must be engaged or something. Chris is one of the greatest people ever. Usually, he's actually pumped right now. Because 99% of the time that I preach with him, he plays the entire time. 99. In fact, maybe this is the only time you haven't. I think so. So you got 8 minutes. Now like 7.5. So you better go rest those fingers. He's amazing. He's an amazing human. He was in China like last year teaching people in China. Like, that's incredible. How many people have done that? Exactly. Yeah, you should be wowed tonight. Yeah. So since Wednesday, my wife has been in Australia with Pastor Leanne. And if you don't know me, I have 3 girls, a 4-year-old, Adeline, and then 2 twins that I call Thunder and Lightning. They're 2 years old and they're crazy. They're crazy. So she's been gone since Wednesday night, and I have been on baby duty, kid, whatever you call it, with all the kids for the first time ever for this amount of time. And I just have to tell you, my wife comes back tomorrow, and I'm so, so thankful. Let me tell you why. I was standing here just a couple minutes ago, and Pastor Emma, we were waiting for the meeting. She says, Pastor David's here, Emma's here. And I look around. This is legit what I did. I look around. I said, who's Emma? So, I also call Laurel Lynette. So, I can't wait for my wife to be home. All the moms out there, you are the real heroes, okay? You are the real heroes. Can we put our hands together for all the moms? Seriously. If you didn't clap for moms, then watch kids for like an hour. An hour. If my wife goes for more than an hour, I'm texting her. Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? When you coming home? This is getting rough. This is getting crazy. The kids are about to wake up. They're not even awake and I'm texting her. Because I know as soon as they get up, it's crazy time. And why it's so confusing for me is my twins are identical. They're identical. And I can't tell them apart. And I'm the dad. I'm the dad. I watched them one night when I think Brianna was at Cherish, and she got home, and in the morning when she got up to get them out of the cribs, she goes, and she's like, you're not Mila, because I put them in the wrong cribs. They were in the wrong cribs the whole time. It's a real thing. Even sometimes I'll feed one of them twice. I'm not exaggerating with any of this stuff. I got so confused once because I didn't know what crib to put the other one in. I'm like, what do I do at this moment? Brianna's not here. What's going on? And my oldest knows. For some reason, she knows. So she was asleep at this moment, okay? I went into a room and I woke her up to tell me, which twin do I have? Okay. That's real life, people. Real life. So Mila and Haven, they are so cute. I can't wait for mom to get home. I'm excited for it. But that's my life, and that's why I'm a little bit all over the place tonight, just in case. You know, in fact, it felt really weird because they were sick, so I didn't even get to go to church this morning. And so it felt like I was backsliding a little bit. So if I come to the altar at the end of the service, that's why. So I wasn't in church. All right, so why don't you open up your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I heard this morning that Pastor Juergen was out of this world, which he always is. I don't know if you know and how long you've been in the church for, but the first time I came to the church, I heard Pastor Juergen preach, and I went up to him at the end of the service. This was almost 12 years ago. I went up to him at the end of the service, and I said, Pastor Juergen, you don't know me, I don't know you, but whatever you want me to do, sign me up, because I just want to be a part of this thing. Because I never heard anybody preach and communicate who God is and what we're meant to be doing as Christians like Pastor Juergen. It was like something on the inside of me came alive again. I remember not even knowing who he was and not even knowing what I was a part of. And I went to Australia with him a few months after that for the first time. And then I realized how big of a deal Pastor Juergen and Pastor Leanne are. Like, they're a huge deal. And I know they might not want me to say this, but I'm telling you that to know how thankful that you need to be and how incredibly blessed we are to be under their leadership. Like, they are the greatest, I think, communicators of the gospel in the entire world right now. The world. Like, it's a big deal. And we get to be under their leadership. And not only are they great communicators, but they actually love people genuinely more than anybody else I know, too. They're like the best of both worlds. And we get to be under their leadership. So if you don't, and if you've only been here for a little while and haven't gotten to know them or been able to speak to them, just know that you're in the right place, under the right leaders, doing the right thing. Changing a world, changing a city, reaching the lost. And that's what we get to do. So tonight, I know we're in this series, Truth Wars. And I wanted to speak this message tonight about truth. And specifically truth in our youth. Truth in our youth. Because right now, and if you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to get anything out of this, so I might check out because I'm not a youth right now. This message applies to every single person, okay? This message applies to all of us. Not just those between 0 and 25 or 12 and 18. It applies to all of us. This is what I see. And the greatest thing that I can do in this life is have a vision and serve a vision that leaves a legacy. That leaves a legacy. That when I die, what I've been a part of grows when I'm gone. That's the greatest thing that we can do. So I realize this, that if I want to win the world, if I want to change the world, if I want to see people come to know God like never before, the best thing that I can do is focus on the next generation. The best thing I can do is focus on the next generation. So if you're in that age bracket, you're going to get a lot out of this. If you're not, you're also going to get a lot out of this because we all have a role to play in changing the world. The Bible says this, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If that's the will of God, it is up to you and it's up to me to find the most effective way to win the world, the most effective way to win the lost, the most effective way to win people. That is our purpose, that is our mission, that is why God has called us here. And I've seen this, that this next generation that is rising up, God has called them, God has appointed them, God has ordained them. And I know that if we can reach them and have a different perspective of our role with them and your role as them, then we will see something different happen in our city, in our state, and in our nation. So let me just read you these facts. And as I'm preaching this message and giving you some points, you can apply these points to your life. But at the end of the message as well, I'm going to give you how as well can we apply what we've been talking about to this next generation in our lives. What is our role that we play and how we can do that? So that message title is the Truth About Youth. Here's some facts. Facts of this: depression right now is at an all-time high. There's about 3 million severe depression cases every single year in our teens. bullying right now, 30% of every single teenager between the age of 12 and 18 has been bullied or been a part of bullying. Sexual activity, about 47% of all teens or youth between the age of 12 and 25, 47% have been reported that they've been sexually active. 20 million new STDs or STIs, more than half are between the ages of 15 and 24. Drug use is at an all-time high, and not, it used to be marijuana. Right now, marijuana is like this thing that people don't even care about. It's like cigarettes. Nobody cares about that, so they're all into this other stuff that's crazy, prescription drugs and over-the-counter drugs and heroin and cocaine and all of these things is at an all-time high. Academic problems, 1.2 million teenagers will drop out of school. Obesity is at 32%, an all-time high. Insecurity right now is at an all-time high. The reason is because most of the Generation Z, which is what I'm talking about, most of that generation has lived their entire life only knowing war. They don't know what peace is. They don't know a nation at peace. Since 2001, we've been at war. And so many of that generation, it's already been 8 minutes. Thanks, guys. And so they are insecure because they don't know what it's like to be in peace. So they're always questioning, when's going to be the next attack? When's going to be this thing? When's going to be that issue? So they're living in this time of insecurity. So we see these things happening in their lives. And those are the facts. Those are the facts that you can look them up right now on Google. You can do your research. You can find out these are the facts. And this is what everybody is saying is happening to this generation. And we've all formulated our own opinions as well of that generation. Between the age of about 0 and 25, they're lazy, they're spoiled, they're entitled. And we've made our own opinions and we've labeled them as facts that this is who they are. That this is what the facts say. But there's a thing, and you'll hear it in this series, that there's facts, but then there's also truth. Because the facts say all of those things. The facts say all of those horrible statistics. And the biggest reason I'm preaching this message to us tonight as a church is just this week we've seen some people in Rancho Bernardo High School, a young man ended his life tragically. One of the schools that we have youth going to. Their friend hasn't come to church before, but tragically ended his life. One of the only schools, actually, that didn't want us to go in and do assemblies for him. A few months before that, we saw a teenager at Torrey Pines High School who had a fake gun. Who had a fake gun, called the cops. When the cops came, he ran towards them with a gun. They didn't know it was a gun, so they ended up shooting him, ending his life as his way of committing suicide. And we see these things happening in our teenagers. We see these things happening in the young adults. We see these things happening in this generation that is coming up. We see these facts that are rising up, and we feel like that this generation, is there any hope? Is there any hope? And so the facts show their face. And now we don't know where to turn. We don't know where to go. We don't know what's happening. But there's facts and then there's truth. So I don't want to talk about the facts tonight. I want to talk about the truth. I want to talk about the truth, and this is why. Because I want you, if you're in between that age bracket, 0 to 25, listen, you got to get this because there's a higher purpose and a calling for your life. And if you're over the age of 25, you got to get this too. I got to get this in my spirit because there's something that God is calling me to do, and it's for us to raise up the next generation. It's for our ceiling to be their floor. It's to let them stand on our shoulders. If we want to change the world, it's going to be seen in that next generation. If you ask people, they will say this. These are the worst times to be alive. Because the shootings and the deaths and the hatred. I mean, this is the worst time to be alive. You might have said it, or if you haven't said it, you've probably heard it. You've probably heard it been said. And this is what I thought. I thought, well, if this is the worst time to be alive, my God knows the beginning from the end. So, if he knows the beginning from the end, he knew what was going to be happening today, at this time, right now. He knew the time that we were going to live in. He knew the things that were going to be happening around us. He knew all the crazy situations that were going to be taking place. He also, the Bible says, before we were born or formed, he knew us. So here's my thought. It is, God knew that this was the worst time, and he also knew us before we were born. Then what he did is he said, I need a different generation. I need a different generation. So literally, he took his best to put it in the worst. So we look at the generation and say, man, are they ever going to get their act together? Is there any hope for our nation? Is there any hope for our city? Is there any hope for our world? But God is saying, no, there's hope because I sent my best to the worst. And so our job is to let them stand on our shoulders, is to understand. So I just want to give you this message of this generation, this different generation that I see. Because I don't see the same generation that other people see, that the media sees. I see a different generation with a different spirit. The facts are trying to tell us what Generation Z is. But the truth is trying to tell us who they are. Who they are. And so that's what I want to preach about tonight. And I want to share you these scriptures. So I want you to open up your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read the story of David. This is what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 14. It says this: David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of his dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. I wonder what kind of people we'll be when the enemy shows himself. Will we be people that run from or run to? Will we be people that live with the gods of this generation or tear down the gods of this generation? Who will we be? So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And his anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it, I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard, and I struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his arm and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained it, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. They fled. So I read all those scriptures to you because I'm going to break them down for you in the next few minutes and then give an opportunity for all of us to respond. And as I go through these points, I'm not just talking about youth and just to youth tonight. I'm talking to every single one of us, because every single one of us can learn from this. Because here's the truth. The facts is what we read. The facts is what you're going to look. The facts is what you're going to see on the internet. The facts is what you're going to see on the media. The facts is what you're going to see if you Google some things right now. That is what facts is, but then truth trumps facts. And so I see here, I see a young man, a teenager, somebody who might have been insignificant, somebody who was overlooked, somebody just like you, somebody just like me. He had all these reasons not to do something, but then change the world that he lived in. And we want to see the reasons that he did. The first thing, and the first reason that I see that he changed the world, and that this generation is a generation that, even though the facts say this, truth says something else, is because this generation is a generation that knows what it means to serve. That knows what it means to serve. Jesse, David's dad, says, "Hey, David, check it out. I need you to go. You're going to go to your brothers. You're going to go hang out with them." And I imagine David thinking this: "Yes, I'm going to go fight. Let me get my sword. Let me get my spear. Let me get my weapons. Let me get all those things. I'm about to go to the battlefront." And his dad is like, no, David, I don't need you to grab a sword. I'm just going to grab something. Don't watch out for that hole. That's a dangerous hole. I'm going to grab something because David thought that his dad was probably going to ask him to bring a spear and a sword, but that's not what his dad asked. His dad asked him, "I don't want you to bring a sword. I need you to take some cheese, and I need you to take some crackers. I need you to take some meat and some olives, and that's what I need you to take." So when David thought he was going to go and fight, he was really just going to go and serve. And you can take a picture of this beautiful cheese board and send it to Colby, because I'm sure she'll want to see it. But David thought, "Man, no, don't you understand? Dad, I was just anointed king. Don't you know me? Don't you know the position I'm meant to be in? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm the next king of Israel and you want me to serve? I got to carry cheeses and breads. Now I'm a waiter. Now that's who you've called me to be." The thing is this, David didn't say that to his dad. David didn't make excuses to his dad. David didn't turn up his nose at his dad. David took the cheeses, he took the crackers, and he went to the battlefield because David saw his servanthood as his entryway into his calling. That's what he saw. See, the facts might say that we have a lazy generation, but the truth says we have a generation that serves. The truth is, right now in this church, if you look all around, there's teenagers serving everywhere. Back in the booth right now at our North Campus, at our Central Campus, in Kids Church, they're all over serving. because they understand that the doorway and the pathway to their calling is through serving. And this generation, a generation that will change the world, a generation that will see things that nobody has ever seen before because they understand the power of what it means to serve, to lay down their life. And I wonder how many of us can get inspired by that tonight. I wonder how many of us just need to hear that. Need to hear, you know what? Sometimes we're asking for God to give us a sign, but we don't want to pick up a chair. We want God to give us a sign, or God to give us a word, and God to pray for us, and the pastors to give us a word and to write something down or to post something about us. We want all of these signs, but it's just through serving. It's just through laying down their life. And I know that our world and our city is in good hands because I see a generation that serves. I see a generation that lays their life down. And if we want to change the world, we need to be that as well. And if you're not in the Generation Z, then you can be the example. Be the example to serve. Be the example to lay your life down. Be the example and show this next generation who's in kids' church right now, who might be 2 years old, show them what it means to lay down your life. See, I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about kids that are over there right now, 2 years old, 3 years old, who are destined to change the world, but they need an example. They need somebody to show them. They need somebody to show them the way of this is what it means to serve God. This is what it means to lay your life down in the house of God. We need to be the people that show that. The facts say one thing, but truth says this. That the generation that's coming up is a generation that sees opportunity and not problems. Sees opportunity and not problems. David gets to the battlefield and he looks at Goliath, and everybody runs from the battlefield when Goliath shows up. But David runs towards it because everybody sees the biggest problem that the nation has ever seen. But David sees his biggest opportunity. He sees his biggest opportunity. He changes the world because he sees an opportunity when everybody else sees a problem. How do we see things? How do we see problems? How do we see giants? How do we see Goliaths? How do we see these issues that are happening right now, that are happening in our teenagers' lives, in colleges, in workplaces, in marriages? Man, marriage is a problem right now. This is a problem right now. Drugs are a problem right now. Do we call them and label them problems, or do we label them opportunities? It's our greatest opportunity right now. That the most horrible tragedies have happened, but those tragedies can be our opportunities to step in and to change things. See, facts say it's a tragedy, but truth says, no, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to show them who God is, to show them the goodness, the greatness of God. I love David because David shows up to the scene and sees the biggest problem ever, but doesn't call it a problem, calls them an opportunity. See, this generation, Generation Z and you and us and me, we can change the world. We can see the name of God glorified and lifted up, but we have to understand this. We have to understand that the giants that are out there are not problems, they're opportunities for us. There are opportunities for God to show up. There are opportunities for you to step into your calling. There are opportunities for you to step into all that God has called you to be. Do you know that darkness is an opportunity? Darkness is an opportunity for light to shine the brightest. Darkness in your life, darkness around you, darkness in your family's life is an opportunity for light to shine the brightest. See, David saw an opportunity where everybody else saw problems. Or a generation who sees a different problem, but the same God. See, it's a different problem, but the same God. Saul calls David, says, hey, what's going on? What are you talking about? And David says, yeah, I want to go take down Goliath for you. I want to go take down this giant for you. So he gets up and he shows up, and Saul's questioning him, well, why? Who do you think you are? You really think that you can do that? You really think that you can take down that giant? And then David says this, let me tell you about something in my past. He says, your servant used to do this. I used to keep the lions. I used to keep the bears. I used to keep the sheep. I used to kill the bears. I used to keep the sheep. I used to keep the sheep. I used to keep the sheep. So David says that when a lion or a bear rose up against me, I would take it and I would kill it. Imagine that for once. David grabbing the beard of a bear and hitting it. You ever done that? I don't know anybody who's ever grabbed, I don't even know where the beard of a bear is. But he grabbed the beard of a bear and struck it and killed it, took it out, right? So David says to Saul, your servant used to keep the sheep, and I would take out lions and bear. And he says this Philistine, this Goliath, this giant will be just like them. Will be just like them. See, he sees a different problem, but he sees the same God. He sees a different problem. See, right now we're facing a different problem than we've ever seen before. See, it used to be that bullying was face-to-face, but now it's cyberbullying. Now it's over the internet. Now it's over Snapchat. Now it's over Instagram. And we see a generation who's depressed and anxious and fearful because of something that they can't see. But what I understand is this, that it might be a different problem, but it is still the same God. And I love David because he says that the God who delivered me from this will also deliver me from this giant. It doesn't matter what the giant looks like. It doesn't matter how big Goliath is, because it's the same God. It's the same God. And we have to understand that if we want to change the world, and the generation that I see out there is a generation that steps into their school and says, I know it's a different problem, but it's the same God. A generation that stands on what God did before, that stands on the Word of God. And I feel like David would have said this. David would have said, I know I shouldn't be able to, but I will. I know I shouldn't be able to kill the lion and the bear, but I will. I know I shouldn't be able to kill Goliath, but I will. I know I shouldn't be able to start a prayer meeting in my school, but I will. I know I shouldn't be able to see this family come to know God, but I will. I know I shouldn't, but I will. Because David understood this, and it's a different problem, but it's the same God. See, the generation that will change the world is a generation that sees those things, that understands those things, that steps out of that comfort zone. He says, I know I shouldn't, but I will. I know I shouldn't, but I will. I shouldn't be able to change the world because of my past, but I will. So I wonder what we see when we look at those giants in our lives. When we look at this generation, when we look at our lives. Because like I said, I know I'm talking about that Generation Z tonight, the truth about them. But I know a lot of us can grab some of this tonight as well. I know a lot of you need to receive this too. Because right now you're facing a different problem, and all you need to do is remind the devil of the victory you got before. I was praying for a girl maybe a year ago, and she was saying, I want this new job, I want this new life, but I don't know if it's possible. And so I said, well, didn't God get you a house when you thought it was impossible? And she said, yeah, but this is different. I said, no, it's not. Why do we think it's different? It's a different problem, but it's the same God. So all you got to do is go back to that situation where God brought breakthrough for you and remind the devil that God did it before and he can do it again. You just got to remind your problem that it's the same God that I'm serving. Whatever it is that you're facing right now, maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's depression or worry or anxiety or debt. What is that problem? Just go back to the latest victory that you had and stand on that thing. Your last victory is not a place to reminisce about. It's a place to stand on. It's a place to stand on and remind the devil. God did it before and he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. He's going to bring breakthrough again. He's going to pull you up out of that mess again. He's going to set you free again. God can do it again. He can do it again. Let's be those people. That's what David did. He said to King Saul, I'm going back to the latest victory and I shouldn't have been able to. It's crazy to think that a man can with his hands kill a lion. And we pass over that. Yeah, that makes sense. He shouldn't have, but he did. This generation should not be the generation. They shouldn't be. From all the facts that we see, from the upbringing that they've had, from the lack of parenting, from the education that they're getting, they should not be the generation that changes the world. But they will. But they will. Because a church is going to let them stand on their shoulders. A church is going to believe in them when nobody else believes in them. A church is going to show them what it means to have a healthy marriage and a healthy life. A church is going to show them what it means to serve. A church is going to show them what it means to pray. A church is going to show them what it means to lay down their life. They shouldn't be able to. Do you understand it tonight? Understand it. Right now, we should not see a revival, but we will because of you. Because of you showing the way, showing them how to. That's why. This message might seem like it's all about youth, but it's actually about us. The reason it's all about us is because we have, the divorce rate right now is about 50%. Just our church, for instance, 90% of our youth, our teenagers that go to My City Youth, 90% of them are from outside of our church. Over 50% of all of those youth, their parents are divorced. Some of them have been divorced once. A lot of them, their parents have been divorced 3-4 times. I can't tell you how many youth come up to me and ask me, will you walk me down the aisle? Because they don't have a dad. He said, I have him, but I don't know him. Almost all of them are raised in homes that they don't know what it means to have a healthy marriage and a healthy life and healthy role models. And I look at them and I see that they will be the generation that changes everything. But it's dependent on us. It's dependent on you. It's dependent on me to show them what it means. That facts say this, but that does not have to be your story. Facts say all marriages, 50% of marriages end in divorce, but we can come and say that it does not have to be your story. We can show them the way. We can show them the way by being the model of what marriage is meant to be like. Being the ones that believe in them, that hope with them, that pray with them. That's who God has called you to be. That's what God has called me to be. I love this generation because they're a generation that refuses to live somebody else's life. Saul puts the armor on David, and David walks around. David says, I can't do this. I can't live this life because it's not mine. I can't walk this way because it's not my life. They refuse to live somebody else's life. Now, you look out there right now and you say that we have a bunch of copycats out there, that we see the most popular thing, and that's what everybody does. That's what facts tell you. But I'm not here, like I said, to tell you facts. I'm here to tell you truth. Facts tell you that, but truth says we have a generation rising up that refuse to live somebody else's life. That refuse just to have somebody else's story. They're going to make their own path. They're going to pioneer their own way. Our job, your job, my job, is not to make the youth like us. My job is not to make them like me. It is not to try to get them to be like me, talk like me, act like me, preach like me, pray like me. My job, our responsibility is to make their youth become the best version of them. The best version of them. The best version of you. That is our responsibility. To tell them to not, those little things that you call insecurities, no, those are your qualities. Those things that you laugh at yourself about or refuse to show in public because you think people will make fun of you. No, those are something that God has given you. Our job is to let them see that the unique giftings and qualities are from God. Because they're not meant to live a life like everybody else. They're meant to live a different life. Because the facts out there say that, no, we have a generation that's conforming to everybody else, but the truth isn't saying that. The truth is that there's a generation rising up, there's some people rising up. They get a model from the church. If you are unique, you are set apart, individual. A generation that understands that a youth with a purpose is greater than a giant with a sword. Let me say it one more time. A generation that understands this, that a youth with a purpose is greater than a giant with a sword. It is our job to let them see that them with a purpose, that our kids, that our youth, that our young adults, that them with a purpose is greater than the giant out there with a sword. There's a guy named Calvin Graham. I'm almost done. Calvin Graham was in the United States Navy in 1944. Serving in the Navy when a torpedo came and put a big hole in their ship, and the ship started to sink. As it did, and a bomb came over the top and created this massive crater in the ship, and he fell in this hole. He fell in this hole on the way down. He hit his head up, and he was bleeding. He got knocked out, and he woke up, and he ripped part of his pants, and he tied it around his head to stop the bleeding. He looked all around them, and men all around them were hurting and injured. So Calvin Graham spent the entire night helping people out of this hole, fixing people up, putting bandages on people. Even the captain was down, and he helped him up. All night he spent helping people who couldn't help themselves. He was awarded multiple different awards from that moment. It's an incredible story what he did. But what's most incredible is that when he did it, he was 12 years old. He was 12 years old when he decided to make a difference. He was 12 years old when those things happened. Because he understood that a youth with a purpose is greater than a giant with a sword. Are we filling him with purpose? Do you have purpose tonight? Our job is to let purpose fill your hearts, purpose fill your soul, purpose fill your life. Last thing is this, as I see a generation that doesn't run away from the battle, but like David, runs toward. The Bible says that as Saul came, David got up and ran towards Goliath. A generation, the truth about youth, it's a generation that runs towards and not away from. That's what we're talking about tonight. That's what God wants to do. God wants to raise up that generation, and he wants to use us to do it. He wants to use us to raise them up, because he's not willing that any should perish. So that means you and I have to get to work, to teach them, to show them, to pray for them, to model for them what it means to go after God, what it means to run towards the enemy, what it means to have purpose. What it means to go after God, what it means to lay down our life, what it means to pray, what it means to do all those things. We have to show them that. We got to believe in them. We have to show them what a healthy marriage is, like I said. That is our purpose. That is our role. That's what God is calling us to be. So I want you just to stand up to your feet as we finish. God is looking for us as a church to be a mom and dad to some of those youth, to help them out. Maybe that's the role that you can play, to be an example. Because we see the facts, but we also see the truth. So I want to do two things as we finish tonight. First one is this. I want to pray for every single person who's over the age of 25. You're a parent, not a parent, over the age of 25. I want to pray for you. Just lift your hands up right now. Because we have a unique role to play, a unique role to let this generation stand on our shoulders. To let them be the generation, the greatest generation, the generation that changes the world that we know, the generation that sees things that we've never seen before, that experiences things that we've never experienced before, a generation that's in stadiums, a generation that sees entire schools set on fire for God, a generation that sees entire cities coming to know Jesus, a generation that doesn't know the fights and battles that we have fought. So God, I thank you for these hands that are lifted up. God, let us see it as our responsibility to show this generation what it means to go after God, what it means to pray, what it means to serve, what it means to love. Give them the wisdom to do that, the insight to do that. For every parent in this place, God, give them the wisdom to raise their kids up the way that you designed them to be raised. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. No, I want everybody 25 and under to lift your hands up. Everybody 25 and under, you're the generation that I was talking about, the greatest generation. In the worst time, God sent the best. If you see somebody whose hands lifted up around you, just place your hands on their shoulders. Place your hand on them, and we're going to pray for them right now. We're going to pray for them. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for this generation. God, we thank you that the facts have said one thing, but truth says another thing. God, that this generation will be the generation that changes the world, the generation that lives in the miraculous, the generation that sees the power and the fire of God fall. God, we thank you. We stand with them. We stand beside them. God, we lift up their hands. God, that we are with them in their battles. We're with them in their trials. God, I thank you for the generation that we saw in King David, that same spirit to be manifest on the inside of them. God, I thank you that this is the truth of this generation, that they will be the ones that see an opportunity, not a problem. God, they're the ones that see a different problem but the same God. They're the ones that see that a youth with a purpose is greater than a giant with a sword. They're the ones that run toward and not away from. God, let the fire and the power of God fall on every single one of them tonight. Let it change them. In Jesus' name, we stand with them. We stand beside them. God, that they are changing the world. They are changing statistics. They are changing what everybody has said about them. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. In the last 20 seconds I have, just close your eyes. I want to ask you this. If you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you're not connected with him, you're far from him, I just want to ask you, with nobody looking around, on the count of three, to lift your hand up nice and high and say, yeah, that's me. Tonight, I want to give my life to Jesus. I need to reconnect to him. So if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand up nice and high. Say, that's me tonight. I want to connect with Jesus. I'm away from him. I don't know him. But before I leave, I want to. If that's you right now, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand up nice and high. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. If that's you, just shoot it up nice and high. Want to know Jesus. You don't know him, but you want to get to know him tonight. Awesome. I see that hand. So proud of you. Incredible. Just 10 more seconds if that's you. Want to know Jesus. Want to get to know him. Want to get connected with him. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for the hand that was lifted up. I thank you that you see their struggle. You see their pain. You see what they're walking through. God, tonight everything is changing for them. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. God, for the opportunity to change the world, for the opportunity to serve. God, I thank you for this incredible campus, for these incredible people. God, for this generation that's rising up from 0 to 25, a generation that will literally change everything we've known about serving God and going for God. Let it be done. Let us see it. Let us let them stand on our shoulders and go further than we ever could have gone before. Let us have a vision that leaves a legacy. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.